Are going here?
Board of Supervisors, we'll come back in a session on our blue slip item. Well, let's go back first to closed session. Board, on item 2A, Marvin Price, 2B, Chuck Laughlin, 2C, County Negotiators, Aaron Brustori, Community Development Director, and Barbara Belvoir, Public Works, Senior Project Engineer. The board gave direction to staff. Item 2A and B, there was no action or report. Item 3A, the board gave direction to staff. Item 4, the board approved the confidential minutes. With that, go back to our blue slip.
Chairman, just to clarify for the record, there, I think there's two number twos, which you read that way.
Oh, that is correct. We had 1, 2, and two instead of 1, 2, and three. So,
1, 2.
Thank you. The blue slip item, Supervisors Plaza and Novelli. Is there any more information on the surface since our previous discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, still trying to review what was sent out as the latest revisions. I would say in comparing the latest revision of the document to our consultant's comments, his first comment referencing the first bullet point, I would agree the changing of the language to the 18 routes will be opened after necessary corrective actions are implemented is a new change, and I agree with our consultant's position that that should be left to read the 18 routes will be opened as necessary corrective actions are implemented. Yeah, in the prioritization, a cost-benefit analysis would be considered in the prioritization of the corrective actions. I don't know how they're measuring a cost-benefit analysis. I think it probably is reference to comments made by Forest Supervisor Crabtree, where his feeling is that pretty simple corrective actions are all that's required on some of the routes. So if they can be done very quickly with some gravel bars or whatever is necessary to improve the hydrologic connections, that could be done rather quickly. And those things that could be done quickly, they would prioritize those up on the list so that they could get these routes reopened.
You know, something else he had in one of those bullet points, he's right. It talks about let's see, be on the second bullet point to Randy Moore, the letter to him. It talks about eliminating public travel. I think that should be to eliminate, it could be vehicular travel.
Right. No, I agree with that, too. They've taken to using this public traffic because it was pointed out at our appellant meeting that, and the point was well made, that is it vehicular travel that is causing this lack of hydrologic connectivity in the meadows, or is it the mere existence of the trail and or road? Because if you stop the vehicular travel over it, but other forms of travel continue, the road and the trail still exists. So you're really not solving this purported problem of hydrologic connectivity in meadows until the road or trail is relocated around the meadow and somehow reclaimed back to its natural state. So I think we do need to be consistent with that and request that it be vehicular travel, because that's what they're trying. They have no, the environmental community, to your some of your earlier points, Supervisor Arnetto, the environmental community has made no proposals about reducing the traffic on these same trails and roads to equestrian traffic or hiking traffic or mountain bike traffic.
And again,
just motorized traffic.
And again, maybe in the interest of being fair, maybe all travel might be the correct method.
I know where you're going with that. But as far as our requirements.
Who are these, the blue, where did those come from?
Those are new additions that have come out of a result of comments submitted by all the 11 appellants, and then the Forest Service compiles them into these new revised comments, and it's sort of up to us whether we agree with them or not.
The only question I have on the second page of that, it says results of this monitoring will be documented and sent to all appellants after each season. What is their
Well, see, this is a part that the environmental community wants that, frankly, I don't agree with. If you go back to the original decision of the Forest Service, 24 of the routes, the last bullet point on page one, those 24 routes were deemed to be unaffected by vehicular traffic and were opened. Well, the environmental community doesn't like that ruling, and they want to create additional oversight and analysis of those 24 routes to look for other things that may be affecting from an environmental nature rather than just the hydrologic connectivity. And she referenced. So a never-ending review, and the motorized public has stated that, look, there's procedures within the Forest Service guidelines for closing of roads and trails. And either abide by those procedures and accomplish it that way, or, you know, let's not put additional monitoring requirements in for the sake of reaching agreement here. But, you know, this whole thing was about trying to reach a point where all 11 appellant groups could remove their appeals and the Forest Service could get going on fixing these things rather than having to draft another environmental document.
So where are we on the 11 appellants now and the other 10?
All I've heard is that El Dorado County is proposing removing their appeal, but that leaves 10 more. Not likely to be removed by the likes of the Center for Biological Diversity and the Sierra Club. And
you know, something else was mentioned somewhere. I think you may have mentioned Supervisor Plaz was talking about a cost benefit.
Right, right. That was in the first paragraph. Second sentence. Cost-benefit analysis would be considered in the prioritization of the corrective actions.
Okay, I missed it. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I think that comes from the forest supervisor, where it's his interpretation after reviewing some of these routes that some of the corrective actions can be pretty quick.
Okay.
And dealt with. So he'd like to prioritize those for the sake of getting those routes reopened.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I like his thought process there.
And we have no say about what corrective actions are. So, I mean, if you want to build a three-story building for a corrective action, we can't say, well, why don't you try to build a staircase over it versus a three-story building?
So, in this agreement, if all 11 appellants, well, how many counties are involved?
Three.
El Dorado, Alpine, and us.
So, the way they have this language set up, is it a thought process that all appellants will remove their?
Yeah, the very first language up here, Richard, states that based on the following agreement and conditional on all appellants concurrently withdrawing their appeals, we would like to withdraw our appeal, blah, 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 to this statement. But it was, you know, it's predicated on, it has to be a concurrent withdrawal of all appeals, of all 11.
It doesn't tell me, though, whether the environmental community, all of them will remove their appeals.
No, it doesn't give us insight to that. I mean, in order for any of us to sign this agreement, it's going to be based and conditioned on all appellants agreeing to do the same. This is a withdrawal of appeal document. That's what this document is based on these conditions, we'll withdraw our appeal to the SEIS.
I would think, based on past experience with environmental groups, that it would be highly unlikely to get 100% of them withdrawing their appeal.
That's why I feel, and I don't know how Supervisor Plas feels, I think we're on the same page, but John Hoffman has done a great job, but is it right to pull our appeal off because of we don't know what's going to happen on the other side, and we don't know a lot of things yet. So if we pull our appeal off, we're kind of left out. And
well, that's the question. Does it put us in a position where we're not going to have as much influence in the future if we withdraw our appeal when there are environmental groups that still have their active appeals?
All right, but we want to do the best thing for our trails in our county and the other two counties. But if we pull our appeals today, will it hinder us 2 years down the road from some other action? That's one of the questions.
As John says in the first choice on the two-page handout you've got in front of you of John's comments, his very first point is, but live with greater future constraints.
That's right.
If we sign it. Because signing it is going to add those monitoring requirements to 24 routes that, as of now. Now, you know, what does Randy Moore do when he sees the appeal from the environmental groups about those 24 routes? Maybe he upholds one of their appeals.
Right. I mean, that's my concern, is that if we withdraw our appeal and you still have one, two, three active appeals from the environmental community, who's he going to pay attention to?
Right. Right. And that's why I had this drafted, to make it that this agreement, signing this agreement, is only applicable if all the appellants withdraw their appeals.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I think we're unlikely to achieve that. And frankly, like I said, this process has been so loose, never been done before, this process. But the new forest supervisor asked to get all 11 appellants together in a room and try to hammer out an agreement.